Title of the message this morning is Letter or Spirit? Question mark. Letter or Spirit? Let's pray before we read. Dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I ask for your help, that you would come and anoint the reading and the preaching of your word, that, Lord, your word might find good and ready soil. And so we humble ourselves now to say to you, Lord, speak, for your servants are listening, and we are ready to be obedient to whatever you call us to. And that, Lord, we ask that you would show in us any wrong spirit that we may have, and renew a right spirit within us for your glory and for your honor, for your pleasure and for your delight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 2, beginning verse 23, says, "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn." Now let me just interject here. This is not corn as we think of in the United States, like maize, you know, a big husk with yellow corn on it. No, this was a corn of wheat. It would be a little, you know, a wheat corn. So they began to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" And he said unto them, "Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was in hunger, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." And we're going to move quickly this morning, or I'm going to attempt to move quickly. I have a lot of scriptures that I'll have you turn to. But in first dealing with this passage, as Jesus has just dealt with the question about fasting. Remember, John's disciples came, and the false religious leaders had come and questioned about fasting. Why do we fast? You know, the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast. And Jesus explained to them that they didn't need to fast because he was with them, but he would go away, and then his disciples would fast. And he gave that illustration of taking a new piece and sewing it to an old garment, or new wine into old wineskins. You don't just take it and just slap it on. There is a proper place for things. There is an appropriate response. There's an appropriate, don't just do for do. You got to do and do right. What's the purpose of fasting? They maybe had missed the purpose. The purpose of fasting is to draw near to God. And they were right there with God. And now we see a similar story that Jesus goes from there. They're passing through these wheat fields, and the disciples pick these heads of corn and they begin to eat. Now, first of all, I want to make it clear that they weren't stealing. They weren't stealing. It was okay for them to eat this wheat. It wasn't their fields. It wasn't their wheat. But it was all right. You see, in Deuteronomy 23, verse 24, it said, "When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand. But thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn." One of my favorite things about going strawberry picking or going to an apple orchard is you're allowed to eat all you want. But you can't fill up a basket and hide it under your coat and take it out like that. No, you can eat as many strawberries as you want while you're picking strawberries. But whatever you gather up in the container, you've got to pay for that. We understand that. Here in the law, if you're passing through somebody's field, you can pick, you know, and eat while you're going through the field. You can't take a sickle and cut down a bunch and take a bushel full. No, that's stealing. But to eat for yourself while you're passing through is permitted. So the disciples were doing that very thing. They were plucking the ears with their hands and they were moving through the field. And so the problem is not stealing another man's corn. The Pharisees had a problem with the disciples of Jesus doing this on the Sabbath. That was the issue. They are harvesting grain on the Sabbath day. And so I want to now look at what the Sabbath is and what Jesus teaches us in this passage about it. Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis is the book of the beginnings. We look in chapter 1 and we find that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And it was 6 days in which God created the heavens and the earth. On the sixth day, the final creation was man. And God made man in his own image. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." The 7-day week which you and I observe today is biblical. Why don't we have a 10-day week? Or a 5-day week? Or a 20-day week? Well, because in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth and he made a week as 7 days. God worked for 6 days creating, and then God rested on the seventh day. And it says that he sanctified it. When you sanctify something, you set it apart for a specific purpose. So God set aside this seventh day for the purpose of rest, and we'll find as we move along, for worship. A rest from labors and a rest to worship. There is a from and there is a to. Okay? Now, God does not grow weary or tired. He did not need rest. He established a day of rest for mankind. He did this for us. Was God wore out at this end of the 6 days? Oh man, I really need a break. No. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. You are very familiar with this passage, I'm sure. But usually we focus on the end of it, not the beginning of it. God doesn't get tired. He is omnipotent, which means he has all power. He is everlasting. Anybody ever had the car in your vehicle run dry? Or you go to crank it and you'd start to crank it? Never? You've never had your battery dead? One of the kids left the lights on or left the door open? I have many times. Go to start the car and, you know, it doesn't turn over. Now, the worst thing is when you go and you open the hood and you look at the battery and on the side it says Everlast. And it's dead. Liars! This is not an everlasting battery. It ran dry. It only had so much energy, and when that energy ran out, you had a dead battery. And you had to recharge it. You had to get energy back into it. God alone is everlast. He everlasting. He is the source of all power and all energy. He doesn't have to get energy from an outside source. I wish my cell phone was a little more everlasting. And as it's getting older, it's weaker and weaker. I charge it all night, and by 2 o'clock, it's dead. And what do I have to do? I have to go and I have to plug it into a charger, which is connected to the wall, and it gets powered up again. And then it can operate for a few hours. God does not have to get recharged. You and I do. You see, we're the same way. We wake up in the morning, we have lots of energy, we go, we go, we go. And by the end of the night, what do we have to do? We got to go to sleep. Because that sleep, that rest, gets us energy again to start another day, because we only have so much. Or some of you don't sleep for days, and then you're like the battery. Look at what it says in Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. It says, "Hast thou not known?" Don't you know this? "Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Boy, doesn't that sound good, to be able to run and not get weary? To walk and not faint? The principle is this: God doesn't run out, but you and I do. And so those who renew their strength, they're constantly getting recharged, refilled, are those who are waiting on this God who has endless supply, resting in this God who has endless supply, and getting the strength to walk and to run and to live our lives for Him. When you and I become weary, I was going over this, and the New Testament, it says not to grow weary in well-doing. I was thinking about that a couple weeks ago. I was like, "Lord, you command me not to grow weary in well-doing, but I'm getting weary. So how do I just not?" The answer is not that we won't become tired, because we're not like God. The way you don't grow weary is you make sure you get plugged in and you stay plugged in and you're waiting on God. That's the only way to not grow weary in well-doing. Because in any one of our callings, whatever our responsibilities in our calling is, if we try to go off of our strength and our abilities, we're going to run out. And when you get down to the end supply, you start getting grouchier and meaner and nastier And then you just, and people just go crazy. Why? They grow weary, they faint, they don't run and keep running and walk and keep walking. They wear out. Why? Because they're not plugged in. Because they are not going to the Lord to get, and I don't use this in a trite way, but in a way that we understand, to get re-energized or renewed or strengthened again. God knows our frame. He knows that we are weak. And so God, in the formation of this world, sets aside a day of rest. It wasn't for Him. He knew us. And He knew that we needed a day to rest from our labors, but a day that we can focus on waiting upon the Lord, drawing near to God, and being filled to then live out. Now, this is not to say that you just show up one day a week and then you say, "See you, God, I'll see you next week," and go on to live our lives. No. And some will say, "You need the Lord every day." Yes, you do. But God knew specifically and established one specific day for His people to take a break from normal life and to just spend a day with Him and get renewed, both in body, but more so in spirit. Exodus chapter 20, turn there. We have established that God created the Sabbath day, a day of rest. That God did not need rest, but that He did it for us, for we need it. And in Exodus 20, in the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, it is a command. Now, being the head of my home and the husband of my wife, there are times that I make executive decrees. I'll look at Danae and I'll say, "Go take a nap." "No. Just go take a nap. You need a nap. Go rest." And especially, I don't do it enough, but as she gets later in pregnancy, she gets wore out, and I can see it. And she's thinking of all these things that, I got to do this, I got to do that. I say, forget those things, just go take a nap. And she needs the rest. Here God gives a command. He knows us. And He says in Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." Why? Look at this. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it," or sanctified it, or set it apart. So one of the Ten Commandments is this: remember it, not just to remember it, but to keep it. 6 days of labor, and the seventh day is a day of rest. It's a day holy unto the Lord. Now, maybe you've heard it said, the seventh day is not a holiday, but a holy day. It's not a holiday, but a holy day. It's not a day just to, do whatever I want. It's a holy day set aside for a specific purpose. Now, I want this to be recognized, that it is here in the commandment the responsibility of the head of every home to make sure this command is obeyed by all. The command is given to the head of every home. Look at what it says in verse 10. "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant or employee or thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. People that are staying with you, people that work for you, people who are your children, the head of the home is given this responsibility. Make sure that this day is a day of rest that falls upon my shoulders as the head of my home to make sure this is obeyed. Now turn to Exodus chapter 35, just a few pages over. Verse 1, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the 7th day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Now I mentioned here earlier that it is a from and a to. It is a rest from our normal labors, but to the Lord. It is not calling us to idleness. In fact, within the commandment, we need to see the two sides of it. There is a command that 6 days shalt thou labor. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The church in Thessalonica was corrected by the Apostle Paul. He said that there was rumors, or he had heard that there were those that were walking disorderly among them. Some who were not working, but were going about house to house as busybodies. You see this especially attached to women in the New Testament. Now, it may have been true of men too, but we'll find places where the warning is given that women need to make sure that they're keeping the house and they're not going about as busybodies. There's 6 days to labor. Make sure you're working. As Christians, we ought to be the hardest workers our society sees. We ought to be working with our own hands, providing for our own needs, but having enough, not only to provide for our own needs, but to be able to give in order to help those who are in need. That is, we should in 6 days work so hard that we have enough to provide for our families, but we're able to give for those who can't work to provide for theirs. For there are certain people. Who need. And so we are called to that. So we're supposed to work. Hard workers. 6 days. But then take this day, this 7th day, as a Sabbath of rest. Not doing any work. It's very clear. Don't do work. And here in Exodus 35, the one caught working on the Sabbath day is given capital punishment, put to death. Now I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And I told you at the beginning we'd be looking at a lot of scriptures. Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah was a prophet in the land of Israel during a dark day. People didn't want to do what was right. When they didn't want to follow God, the trouble came. But this is what God told Jeremiah to do. Thus said the Lord unto me, go stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. Now, the gate was the place of business. This is where all happenings, the goods coming in and going out and all of this. This was the marketplace. He says, you go to the marketplaces and you stand there and do what? And say unto them, verse 20, say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their necks stiff, and that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praises unto the house of the Lord. Just pause here for a second. Jeremiah is supposed to go to the marketplace and declare, listen, stop violating the Sabbath day like your fathers did. Start observing the Sabbath day, and guess what will happen? There will be great benefit, great blessing that will flow from this. But, verse 27, but if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Here we have Jeremiah in chapter 17, putting it forth to people. Listen, if you will repent and keep the Sabbath day, then there will be great blessing and benefit from it. But if you don't, then there is going to be destruction. You know what happened? They didn't do it. And the destruction came. The Babylonians came in, and you know what they set Jerusalem to? They set Jerusalem on fire. The very thing that was promised, you'll be devoured. And they were taken into captivity. Do you know how many years they were taken into captivity? Anybody remember? 70 years. Do you know why 70 years? Second Chronicles 36:21 says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. They wouldn't give the land Sabbath rest, so God hauled them off. And because they had not obeyed for 490 years, He says, okay, I'll give the land rest 70 years because you're in exile. They failed to humble themselves and be obedient to this command, and so God humbled them and gave the land the rest. Now, the Sabbath is a day that is set aside for the Lord. And this is where I think it's very important. I said the title of the message is Spirit or Letter. I was recently in a meeting, and a lawyer was present at this meeting. And there was a document which was read. It was the document governing this group. And the document was read in a specific article. And it was really clear what this was saying. There was a rule. And it was clear what the rule was. But they asked the lawyer, can we keep this, can we enforce this rule based upon our document? Because this group was made up of people that had willingly agreed to be part of this, and they had submitted to this governing, you know, document. And you see, the lawyer looked over it and he read it, and he found one word. He said, well, he said, there's this one word in this document, in this article, and it makes the whole article null and void because of that one word. Had they not placed that one word, then it would stand. But you really have no... You might win it in court, but you may not because of that one word. It was interesting as I sat there because I saw the lawyer work as oftentimes lawyers, when it comes to the Bible, work. The Pharisees worked. It was very obvious what was being said. Yet one little word, and they would hinge everything upon one little word and totally undermine the command. That's living by the letter, then instead of by the spirit of what's trying to be communicated. What was the point of the Sabbath day? It was to set aside a day of rest unto the Lord. Now, in Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says this, 13 and 14, it says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Those who live by the letter, like the Pharisees did, could focus on all the little things. Oh, well, you know, you pluck the heads of grain on the Sabbath day. Look what you're doing. And they can miss the whole point. The point is, you're busy all week working, and you should be. And this is one day to say, you know what? I'm not doing regular work. It's a day to draw near to God, to delight in Him, and for Him to delight in us. That's an amazing thing. It's not only us delighting in Him, but it's Him taking pleasure in His people. It's having a day together with God and being strengthened and renewed. This is the point. Have you ever been diligent to set aside time for a specific thing? I've given this illustration in the past, and I think it's helpful. I call, you know, Danae up, and I say, Danae, tomorrow we're not doing anything. Okay? We're going to drop the kids off at Brian and Kara's, and you and I are going out for the day. And she could say, yeah, Joel, but I've got laundry to do. And the dishes are really high, and I got the room to make. Okay, we'll get those things done today, okay, because tomorrow we're going. And when I get home, I know that the lawn's got to be mowed and certain things that I would normally do on that the next day. And I get those things done. And she gets her things done. Why? So that we can go and spend this day together. I go and I take her. We go out to breakfast. The whole time we're looking at breakfast, eating breakfast, I'm just looking at my watch. At some point she says, I don't have a watch, but I keep pulling my phone out. You know. She says, why do you keep looking at your watch? Well, I can't wait till this day gets over. Well, why? Well, because then I can pressure wash houses. Because that's what I really like to do. I'm just stuck having to go out with you. So I'm just trying to get through this thing. It's this burden, you know. But I'll get through, and then I'll get to tomorrow, to my real fun. You know what Danae would probably say to me? Well, she wouldn't say this, but if I were her, I would say, just take me home now. Because I'd miss the point. Now, I could stand there and say, listen, my marriage is great. I set aside a whole day to go with my wife. And you'd look at me and say, you missed it. You missed it. Now, should I set aside days like that? Or if I can, that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But I need to make sure I'm not missing it and just saying, well, I gave you the day. No, it's a day of fellowship with her, to draw near, to spend time together. It's supposed to be a good day where I delight in her and she delights in me and we just spend that time together, because all week long we're going crazy and it's nice to just have that time together. That is what God is saying to his people. He's saying, listen, you're going busy all 6 days of the week. That's great. But this Sabbath day, this day is just to come and spend time with me. You say, oh, I have a hard time reading the word. I'm so busy. God says, okay, one day you're not even going to work, because you can spend time in the word that day with me. Oh, it's so busy. We have a hard time finding time to pray. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you this seventh day where you don't have all that distraction. You can just pray. Oh, I wish I could spend more time with the people of God, you know. I hear the ladies say sometimes that the guys get together, you know, for breakfast and at lunch, and they hang out. But, right? But when do we ladies get to get together in fellowship? Well, that Sunday, that day, the Lord's Day, where we can come together and strengthen one another as the family of God. To delight in him. It's not just a free day from labor. It's a free day from labor to this day of spending time with God. Now, these are some arguments that people give for the Lord's Day, this Sabbath. They'll say, well, we're going to have a family day. We want to have a family day. And that's why we're not giving the day to the Lord. Or we have projects around the house to catch up on. Now, these are just some of the excuses I hear for, you know, people, you know, when they don't go to church or set aside the Lord's Day as a special day of worship. Oh, well, it's a family day. Or it's a family night. Well, in my house, we have Tuesday night family night, Monday night family night, Tuesday night family night. We have other family nights. And the truth is, every Sunday is a family day for us. We're not off at the park doing our own pleasure, but we're together as a family worshiping the Lord. And it's a wonder those who neglect to wait upon the Lord, they grow weary. Spiritual lives wane. They wear out. Or we can make all these excuses for why we don't spend the day focused on the Lord, but these are just, in the end, excuses. Now, the Pharisees were zealous not to make the mistake of their fathers in neglecting the Sabbath, but they missed the spirit of it by focusing on the letter. After that captivity in Babylon, they came back into the land, and there came a group of men who wanted to do what's right. They wanted to stick by the Bible. They were kind of a revival of sorts to get back to the Bible. The Pharisees were. And they looked and they said, you know what? God made the Sabbath day and we've been neglecting it. And look at what happened to our fathers when they neglected the Sabbath. We're going to keep the Sabbath day. Now, that was maybe started as a good intention. But then they said, okay, well, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day? And they started to add all of these little things, all of these amendments. And by the time Jesus came along, they were all focused on, well, we didn't do this, 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 we didn't do this. And they'd missed the whole point of a day with God. And so here are the disciples walking through the fields with God. And they're hungry. And they pick some wheat. And they, you know, I have peanuts from yesterday. I thought about it. Here are the disciples. It wasn't a peanut, but it's kind of like this, you know. They crack the peanut and they open it up and they separate the thing and they're eating the peanuts. And out of the bushes, a Pharisee pops out. Ha! Caught you! Working! You're cracking peanuts on Sunday or on the Sabbath day. This is how silly it had become. You know, I read a thing recently. I think it was in, wasn't many years ago, that an apartment building in Israel, in the ultra-Orthodox community, an apartment building got on fire. And they were discussing it with the rabbi, whether it would be violating the Sabbath to use the phone and to call the firemen, because they weren't supposed to make phone calls on the Sabbath day. And if we make phone calls on the Sabbath, well, what do you think? And by the time the rabbi finally came to the conclusion that it would be okay, the apartment building was burnt down. This is how stupid it is. They're missing it. There's a difference between when you're hungry, getting something to eat. Every mother knows that though it may be a day of rest, you still got to make breakfast in the morning and lunch and dinner. There's still necessities. The disciples were hungry. They needed to eat. The Pharisees are saying, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" They were hungry and in need of food. And so they were providing for their needs. They weren't out in the fields with their combines and their sickles working to make extra money. I was talking to a man in retail one time and he told me, he said, "You cannot be in retail and not be open on Sundays. You just can't do it. You'll go under." But you know what? God promises. Those who honor Him, He will honor. He says, "Look, if you obey me in this, I will bless you." The two companies that are just thriving today are Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. I mean, Hobby Lobby is a retail company, an arts and crafts store. How can it even survive in our economy? Arts and crafts. But they're huge and they're exploding. And their owner, a Christian who was operating on Sundays, came under conviction and he said, "You know what? I need to shut my store down." And he began to do that and God has blessed him for it. Chick-fil-A is booming. They're not open on Sundays just for the sake of not being open. No, but to honor the Lord, to tell their employees, "You need to go to church and we need to go to church too. And we need to spend time with the Lord. We've worked 6 days. We need a day of rest." And guess what? It happens to be successful because God's ways are always successful. But there are the necessities. Well, Chick-fil-A may be closed on Sundays because they're not trying to make a profit off of people, but mom still may have to make some chicken sandwiches at home. There are the necessities. Luke 13:15, Jesus just healed a woman in the synagogue who was bent over with a crooked back, and they got onto him for healing on the Sabbath, doing work. And Jesus answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering?" You still got to feed your dogs and your cats. and your cows. There are things that still have to be done. There are medical professions and certain things that you can't just stop. They're necessities. In Luke 14:5, they got onto him again for healing. And Jesus answered them, saying, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" This is an emergency. You didn't plan for your ox to fall in this pit. But he did, and you got to get him out. There are emergencies. The apartment building's on fire. You're going to work like mad to put out that fire. Or your car breaks down on the side of the road, and you wouldn't normally plan to have to push your car or fix it, but today you got to because it's literally in the ditch. There are things that come up. There are emergencies. There are necessities. He goes back to the Old Testament to the story of David, who, when David was hungry and the men with him, he said, and they were in need, they ate the showbread. And the showbread was not supposed to be eaten by anybody but the priests. And yet, in this moment of need, people are hungry and need some food. They gave it to them. And he says, look, though that food was sanctified or set apart to the Lord and to these priests, it could be used, okay? And though this day is sanctified and set apart to the Lord, people still get hungry and you can feed them. The Sabbath was made for us. We weren't made for it. It is our need that God has provided this day of rest. It's not because the Sabbath needed us. It's because we needed it. So don't miss it. Don't miss the Spirit and get so caught up in the letter. In the day of rest, become a day of stress. Because I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't. No. Stay focused on the heart of what God is trying to say. And again, what is that heart? I think Isaiah 58, 13 and 14 really has it. Turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Delight thyself in the Lord. That's what it's all about. 6 days shalt thou work and do thy labor, but the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord. To delight thyself in him. In closing, we have got to be careful of something. You've heard of a pendulum swing, right? Clock has that pendulum which rocks back and forth. The problem is not that the pendulum is swinging. That's good. It means it's working. The problem is if that pendulum gets stuck over here, right? Or if that pendulum gets stuck over here. And so often we can look and we can swing and get stuck in one side or another. Many people will look and completely disregard this commandment of the Sabbath day. And say it has no bearing upon us. I've told you that one time I was talking to a preacher who looked at me and said, "We're not under the law. We're under grace. We're not under the law." And I said to him, "So when you leave the church today, are you going to go rob the bank?" He said, "No." I said, "Why not?" "Well, that would be stealing." And I said, "Well, thou shalt not steal is the law. You're not under that, man. Just go steal the bank. Steal from the bank." And I said, when you leave this, are you going to go commit adultery with some woman against your wife? He said, no. And I said, why not? He said, well, because that'd be wrong. And I said, why? That's commandment. That's a law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Why are you living under the law? You're not under the law. You're under grace. And I went through several of the commandments. And every one, he wouldn't do it. And I said, so answer me this question. I said, are you under the law or are you under grace? And the preacher kept his mouth shut, turned, and just walked away from me. He didn't give me a response. Because he didn't know what to say. He had just been ingrained with this thing. Oh, we're not under law. We're not under law. We're not under law. We're under grace. So we just throw the law out. And yet he knew that the law is right and good. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to take the Lord's name in vain. It's wrong to dishonor your father and mother. It's wrong to covet. It's wrong to have another God or to have an image of God. And it's wrong to violate the Sabbath day. If we throw out that commandment, we've got to throw out the other ones with it. Jesus never threw out the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. He got us from the letter to the spirit. Time and time again, we point that out, how it's not just the adultery, it's the heart of lust. It's not just the stealing, it's the covetousness. It's not just the letter, it's the spirit of it. And the same was true with the Sabbath. The people of his day had gotten stuck in the letter of the Sabbath, and he was trying to get them back to the spirit of it. And so don't throw it out altogether. Get the spirit of it. Work 6 days and labor 6 days. Make sure the seventh is set aside as a Sabbath. For God made the Sabbath for you.